take your hands off that mute button, because the Lotus Effect is coming up right fucking now!
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right. Welcome to episode 211 of The Lotus Effect. You may have heard of us. The provisional show title for this week is called Pharma That Grew the Grain. Yeah. Well, we got some stuff to say about that, maybe. You know, the show, it's made up. The content doesn't matter. And I'm Phone Boy.
Yeah, he just thinks he's the boss. We all know who the real boss is, and that's me. I'm Phoenix.
Oh, you don't have no authority over me, bitch.
Yeah, well, anyway. Now, we'd also like to welcome our Apple Podcasts and Spotify listeners and YouTube, question mark? Yeah, YouTube. I'm actually streaming live on YouTube right now. Hey, who knew that? No, there's no video. We're going to get into, we'll talk about what we're doing on YouTube in a little bit. But you know, and I think the fact that we're actually expanding our platform a bit, that might cause some people to freak out. What do you think? Well, I think it causes me to freak out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Clearly, the Lotus affected me in a way that caused me to, well, have to put an edit in. And sometimes I freak out. Sometimes, yeah, anyway. However and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we'd love to hear about it.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, apparently I need to take my hands off that mute button, as Sir Bemrose tells me. We actually invest a lot of time in putting this show together, and we're even putting more time into it now with what we're doing. And we operate on the value for value model, which consists of three T's: time, talent, and treasure. Now, you can send us treasure. It's not exactly what we're about, but you can send us treasure and go to lotuseffect.show. Click on that green We Like Money button. That'll take you to PayPal. If you're a Cash App person, you can use a dollar sign, the Lotus Effect 33. We also have this merch store where our brand feces is smeared all over shit. Lotuseffect.shop, right? You can also do a one-time donation there. I don't know why you would. We did actually get some value this past week. Mama T had sent in $5, which means,
oh, you the executive producer.
Yes, exactly. So, and she, I think I had played a song that she had liked, and well, she sent some value back, we understand, like, money's tight. You know, it's part of why what we're doing is to try and help with some of that as well. But, you know, we do want to make sure the investment we make in putting in the show is valuable, right? And letting us know that you're listening is actually one of the best ways to do that.
And we're actually going to take any donations that we get from the show today, and we're going to donate them, as we've done in the past when a couple of our pedal heads have had an incident where they could use a hand and a hug in the form of a little bit of fiat fun currency to help keep their train on the track. So this evening during the show, we would love if you all, amounts are not important, but one of our very awesome, faithful, longtime pedal heads, Wookie, is recovering from surgery that she had on Thursday, and she's going to be out of work for 6 weeks. And we all know that short-term disability pays dick. So any value that is sent to the show today in the form of donations,
probably for the next few weeks.
We probably will for the next 4 weeks. So we're not going to pin everybody down, but you know, if you can give a little, you know, it'll definitely help her keep the lights on. Cause you know, she had to have surgery for lung cancer. They got it quick, but you know, we wish her a speedy recovery, and we're going to try to help her out at the end of the month with a little financial hug from the Lotus Effect.
Yeah. Now, yeah, like I said, but yeah, we that's part, one of the things we do with the little money we do give is we help our own, right? And I think it's a, you know, that's something that we believe in doing, right? That's the only way we're going to, you know, yeah, obviously the systems out there aren't helping people. So maybe we can help each other and things will get better. Right. But you know, certainly we do find, you know, just letting us know you're listening, of course, is one of the most valuable things you can do. And there's a couple ways to do that. First of all, if you can subscribe to the podcast in your favorite app, you'll be able to find, follow, rate, review the podcast, an Apple podcast.
And especially because we're on YouTube now.
Yeah, we're going to be on YouTube. Yeah, I think we still need to sort of consolidate our YouTube a little bit, because that's something we need to talk about behind the mic, right? Because we're talking about different, anyway, we have different channels going on there. So, because of that, there's lots of ways to listen to us, and we're gonna have a few more. But now, of course, if you want to talk to us, right? One of the easiest ways to do that is on this little service called Mastodon. Mastodon. The massive dong. Send us a message on the dong. I'm phoneboy@lotuseffect.social. She is PHEONIX @lotuseffect.social. You can send us an email. We actually created rather than I don't give a fuck, we created feedback@lotuseffect.show. We figured that's good for people that are, I don't know, normies or something. I don't know. We just decided we were going to do that. We also, you can also snail mail us stuff, contest in the back channel where, you know, we can provide you an address. Join the chat sometime. This is we feed our trolls, they feed us, right? So when we're doing Rideshare Radio, we did 2.5 bends last night, right? And I haven't published the audio yet.
It was a great show.
But it was a great show. So we do that on alternate Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. The other time we do Rideshare Radio, which is a music request show. And then also we've got now we've moved the Lotus Effect to 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. This is when we do it live, 8 Central. And we also, after that, Studio 33 with, playing music and doing requests. All of the details of all of that are on lotuseffect.live, where you can find the live stream. And I gotta put the YouTube links up there and all of that. But anyway, we're still sorting that out. But one thing you can do that doesn't require me sorting out anything is to call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Okay. So when you call that number, which is going to get answered by Google Voice, and there's going to be a mangled transcript of it, and it might become a show title. Well, why would you call that number? Well, you can give us feedback of any kind, right? You can do requests during the music portion of our show, which, yeah. And we can also, weigh in, right? And this week's weigh-in topic is your favorite snowman story, right? So, you know, if you played with the snow, you've got snow. That's where you weigh in at 253-237-3321. We play them during the weigh-in segment, right? And I think that's, is there any more we need to say before I hand it over to Dr. Johnny Fever?
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah, there you go. But let's hear from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor. I can take it.
Yeah, but we're not going to take this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
That's right. We appreciate feedback, but we ask that you be respectful. Don't be prejudiced. That's my job. Don't be anti-Semitic. We absolutely will not tolerate it. We also won't tolerate it in the comments. So just know that we do read every comment on our YouTube video. And if we see that you're being out of pocket, well, we'll deal accordingly. We don't put up with that shit. So just be respectful. You know, we like to break balls and have a good time here, but there is a line that can be crossed. And sometimes when it gets crossed, things occur. We don't like that because we like to keep a happy, sunny vibe here at the Lotus Effect. And I think there's a good reason for that because I think it's explained by Leslie Nielsen.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Okay, so in addition to some of the stuff that we're talking about with YouTube, I think we also decided in the past week, we decided to sort of refocus the show just a little bit. Go back to basics in a little bit. We're not going, you know, it's not going to be necessarily oil and tarot like we did, you know, back in the early days, but
I will give a little teaser. There will be a new aspect that does involve tarot in the show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll do it during Toast and Jam, I think is probably the best place to do that right now. But we're mostly, when we do the stories, we're going to be focusing on health stories, which, you know, because I think that, and that actually encompasses a lot of things that the higher consciousness and all of that can still come in there. But we figured we'd do a few less stories. And actually the first story that we're doing, this is actually kind of a big thing because it is something that was announced by the federal government. It's something we talked about, and it's but remember that our show will never ever ever be
brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, because we actually tell you the truth. They don't. Anyway, so our first story for today is actually the release of the dietary guidelines for Americans for 2025 to 2030.
So in 1992, we did the most brilliant thing we've ever done as a country. We started the food pyramid. I always have to read it off of a piece of paper. The pyramid at the base was bread, cereal, and rice. 6 to 11 servings, not per week, hang on folks, per day. On top of that, 3 to 5 vegetables per day. Fruit, 2 to 4 vegetables. And then it goes into milk, dairy. Now, when you sit there and think about it, you go, that sounds like a lot of food. Am I supposed to eat all of that every day? According to the government, yes, you do. Just in carbohydrates, you have 11 and 5 is 16 and 4. That's 20 servings of carbohydrates every day. And then when you get into milk and dairy, milk has carbohydrates. There's lactose in milk. That's like drinking sugar. Now it gets even worse because we start wondering this. What's a serving?
Actually, it's fun. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, that's a clip from was it Fatta documentary or whatever? I think. Yeah. So that's why he had it in the background. But anyway, on Wednesday, January 7th, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins released the dietary guidelines for Americans 2025 to 2030, marking the most significant reset of federal nutrition policy in decades. Now, the new guidelines deliver a clear, common sense message to the American people: eat real food. But does it really? Now we're going to dig into the actual guidelines. Why this is going to be, this is going to be a little bit longer than we normally do as a story. But there'll be a link in the show notes. I'll actually, for those who want to come follow along, I will actually put the link in the chat if you're live. It's a PDF. So reading from the guidelines, this is what the goal of the guidelines are. So to make America healthy again, we must return to basics. American households must prioritize diets built on whole, nutrient-dense foods, protein, dairy, vegetables, fruits, healthy fats, and whole grains, paired with a dramatic reduction in highly processed foods laden with refined carbohydrates, added sugars, excess sodium, unhealthy fats, and chemical additives. And this approach can change the health trajectory for so many Americans. Now, can it really? All right, you know, we'll see. This is what we're going to read into it and Waldorf and Statler the shit out of it, right? So The guidelines say that protein should be prioritized at every meal. And they and it gets into prioritizing high-quality, nutrient-dense protein foods as part of a healthy dietary pattern. Consume a variety of protein foods from animal sources, including eggs, poultry, seafood, red meat, as well as a variety of plant-sourced protein foods, including beans, peas, lentils, legumes, nuts, seeds, and soy. And, of course, no one should be eating soy. But anyway... swap deep-fried cooking methods with baked, broiled, roasted, stir-fried, or grilled cooking methods. Now, deep-fried isn't really an issue. It's the oil you're frying it in. But anyway, we'll get into that a little bit
later. Well, and the grains and the breading.
Yes. Consume meat with no or limited added sugars, refined carbohydrates, starches, or chemical additives. If preferred, flavor with salt, spices, and herbs. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Protein serving goals. 1.2 to 1.6 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight per day, adjusting as needed based on your individual caloric requirements. Now, for those of us who speak American units, take your weight and divide by 2.2. And as a reference, a 200-pound person would need to eat at least 109 to 145 grams of protein, which is a lot of protein. And yeah, we could all probably use a little bit more of that, and especially as you get older and you're, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s age. Yeah, you actually need even more protein because your body's, you know, at that point, it's just needing it just to keep the muscle mass, right? Now we go to dairy. Well, when consuming dairy, include full-fat dairy with no added sugars. Okay, this is a step in the right direction, right? It's an excellent source of protein, healthy fats, vitamins, and minerals. But you know, the daily serving goals, three servings a day as part of a 2,000 calorie dietary pattern, adjusting is needed based on your individual caloric requirements. We're talking about counting calories. All right. Yeah, let's take a deep breath. All right, it's a step in the right direction, but it ain't. But yeah, there's still a lot of, you know, I don't know. I remember, you know, Gary Taub said one time, he said, you know, they couldn't have got it more wrong if they tried. And basically now that, you know, they can't come out and just completely reverse the dietary guidelines all in one swoop to make it like, you know, real food. Because if they did that, they'd have to admit they were wrong all along.
And if you'd like to hear more about what Gary Taub has to say, he wrote an amazing book called The Case Against Sugar. So you can find it on Audible or any of the places that you find books. If you are like us, you like physical copies, you can go to Barnes and Noble. They still exist. I think Amazon has it, so you can click the affiliate link, I believe, in our show notes.
I need to go find it now.
Well, you'll make sure that you do, but you can click that affiliate link, and if you're going to buy it off of Amazon, I highly recommend this book, folks. I read it. I have a physical copy as well as a digital copy. It's very eye-opening as to what the sugar industry does and has done for many years and the dangers of consuming so much of it.
Okay, ma'am. So anyway, I'll have to find a link for it. I also have to put a time marker. I have to put a time marker in the show as well. Okay, so... Now, they also mentioned gut health, which is good. Your gut contains trillions of bacteria and other microorganisms called the microbiome. A healthy diet supports a well-balanced microbiome, and healthy digestion. Highly processed foods can disrupt this balance, while vegetables, fruits, and fermented foods, such as sauerkraut and so on, sauerkraut, kimchi, kefir, miso, and high-fiber foods support a diverse microbiome, which may be beneficial for health. Yeah, I mean it's good to take care of that, and I think that's what happens when you have aspartame. It fucks up your microbiome and you shit it all out. Basically, that's why it's so nasty. Okay, well, eat vegetables and fruits throughout the day. Eat a variety of colorful, nutrient dense vegetables and fruits. Eat whole vegetables and fruits in their original form. Wash thoroughly prior to eating raw or cooking. How can I consume them in their original form if my apples are sprayed with wax anyway? Frozen, dried, or canned vegetables or fruits with no or very limited added sugars can also be good options. How about none added sugars? We don't like this one. 100% fruit or vegetable juice should be consumed in limited portions or dilute with water. How about not at all? Because, it's basically sugar. Vegetable and fruit servings goals for a 2,000-calorie dietary pattern adjusting is needed based on your individual caloric requirements. They say three vegetables a day, two servings per day. Now, how... I would say... I don't know exactly how fruit is supposed to be healthy. It's nature's candy, right? And honestly, like fruit, if we didn't have stores, right, we could only eat the fruit that was grown locally. We wouldn't have fruit all the time. We might have vegetables, have some root vegetables or whatever, but fruits. Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily, you know, maybe during the season, you know, during peach season, you might be able to have a bunch of peaches for a short period of time. But outside of that, you know, you're not going to have, you know, unless you can them or something, you're not going to have them.
And if you're canning them, you're probably going to be putting them in some degree of syrup, which is added sugar. Even if you can them in their own juices, that's still sugar. The basic rule we follow here at the Lotus Effect is we eat it when it is in season. So when May, June comes, we'll have strawberry salad with feta and all that wonderful dressing. And in the wintertime, we're a big fan of consuming butternut squash and more rugged vegetables. So if you're going to consume fruit, do so in season and do so in your own local region.
As much as possible anyway. Healthy fats. Okay, they talk about incorporating healthy fats, which are plentiful in many whole foods such as meats, poultry, eggs, omega-3 rich seafood, nuts, seeds, full fat dairy, olives, and avocados. When cooking with or adding fats to meals, prioritize oils with essential fatty acids such as olive oil.
Your nuts don't have any oil in them.
Well, okay, anyway, they got something else in them, but let's not, but
that's not oil.
That's the after party. Other options can include butter or beef tallow. Just remember that, you know, the way, I mean, yeah, you need to, we buy from Villa Capelli, but, you know, kosher is probably one of the ways you can determine there's other olive oil. Anyway, there's so much crap out there. Yeah.
Very simple. If you can't afford to buy the Villa Capelli, look for kosher seal on your olive oil, because as we know, in order to, it's nuts. They can cut the stuff that they're calling pure olive oil wise with seed oils up to 40% here in the U.S. and still call it pure. It's gross. It's a massive falsehood. So the best way to skirt around that, and your joints will love you for it, either order some Villa Capelli or look for the kosher seal if you're shopping in a grocery store.
Okay, I can hear the clips from Vinny Tortorich as I read this next thing. In general, saturated fat consumption should not exceed 10% of total daily calories. Saturated fat's not the problem, folks.
Wait a minute. So 10% of daily calories can't come from saturated fat consumption?
Yeah, six ounce ribeye pretty much breeds.
I was going to say steak and eggs, bacon and eggs, sausage and eggs. I can keep going, folks. Your breakfast is going to exceed 10% of the calories from fat if you follow this.
Yes, and saturated fat's not the problem. In fact, I've even seen a study, I've seen some things that say, yeah, high cholesterol actually correlates well with a long life. So tell me again how a high cholesterol is a fucking problem. Anyway, now, of course, they say more high-quality research is needed to determine which types of dietary fats support the long-term health. Well, we know what those are. Eat a steak, eat a big old steer, something like
that. Dang right.
All right, now they say focused on whole grains. Oh, God, some things haven't changed. Prioritize fiber-rich whole grains. Significantly reduce the consumption of highly processed, refined carbohydrates such as white bread, ready-to-eat or packaged breakfast options, flour tortillas, and crackers. Whole grain servings goals, 2 to 4 servings per day. Adjusting is needed based on your individual caloric requirements. What is a fucking serving?
Well, and I want to point out, it is a step in the right direction because the original guidelines that we played at the beginning of this article, it was something like 11 to 14 servings. And I agree, what is a serving? But this is a massive reduction. So it is a step in the right direction, even though we know that they're probably never going to come to the realization that grains are truly one of the biggest problems.
Well, so is seed oils, which they don't even mention seed oils in this thing. But anyway, you should limit highly processed foods, added sugars, and refined carbohydrates. Avoid highly processed, packaged, prepared, ready to eat, or other foods that are salty, sweet, such as chips, cookies, candy that have added sugars and sodium. They also have seed oils sometimes, so watch out for those. But the guidelines don't talk about that. Now, instead, you should prioritize nutrient-dense foods and home-prepared meals. When dining out, choose nutrient-dense options. Limit foods and beverages that include artificial flavors, petroleum-based dyes, artificial preservatives, and low-calorie, non-nutritive sweeteners. That's actually something that, you know, that's a step in the right direction because we know what these things are. So they put all sugar in the same category. Avoid sugar-sweetened beverages such as sodas, fruit drinks, and energy drinks. Now, while no amount of added sugars or non-nutritive sweeteners is recommended or considered part of a healthy or nutritious diet, one meal should contain no more than 10 grams of added sugars. When selecting snack foods, added sugar limits should follow FDA healthy claim limits. For example, grain snacks, which are not healthy at all, should not exceed 5 grams of added sugar per 3/4 ounce whole grain equivalent. And dairy snacks, e.g. yogurt, should not exceed 2.5 grams of added sugar per 2/3 cup equivalent. Yeah, anyway. Now let's talk about added sugars. And actually, again, to help identify sources of added sugars, look for ingredients that include the word sugar, syrup, or end in os. Now, while added sugars may appear on ingredient labels under many different names, including high fructose corn syrup, agave syrup, corn syrup, rice syrup, fructose, glucose, dextrose, sucrose, cane sugar, beet sugar, turbinado sugar, maltose, lactose, fruit juice concentrate, honey, and molasses. Examples of non-nutritive sweeteners include aspartame, sucralose, saccharin, xylitol, and acetylfulmate K. Now, what's the health and safety concerns for acetylfulmate K? Now, the FDA says it's safe. Safe for who? Effective at what? We don't know. But there are some concerns about it. There are animal studies that link it to cancer and thyroid issues in some animal research, though human evidence is limited. Many alter gut biome composition, affecting metabolism, so it affects your gut health. Pregnancy and nursing, small amounts can pass into breast milk. Some suggest avoiding during pregnancy. It's not metabolized by the body, but excreted largely unchanged. So who knows where it goes, right? Some degradation products like acetoacetamide, there you go, are formed with concerns raised about their potential effects. No mention of maltodextrin. I mean, although my guess is if it has maltodextrin, it probably is going to have some of the others too. Because
I've still never figured out why there's maltodextrin in your shower powder.
Yeah, I've been told it's a preservative, but anyway.
Yeah, preserve you to die quicker.
Something like that. Some foods and drinks, such as fruits and plain milk, have naturally occurring sugars. And by the way, all types of milk contain 16 grams of sugar, no matter for an 8-ounce glass of the Moo juice.
Yeah, so if you're going to consume milk, and we don't recommend it here, but if you are, full fat only.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is definitely a change. So you should say limit alcoholic beverages, consume less alcohol for better overall health. Now, people should the guidelines say people who should completely avoid alcohol include pregnant women, people who are recovering from alcohol use disorder or unable to control the amount they drink, and people taking medication or with medical conditions that can interact with alcohol. Now, for those with a family of history of alcoholism, be mindful of alcohol consumption and associated previous behaviors. Now, it's worth noting, because we found an article about this, that the previous U.S. Department of Agriculture guidelines were significantly more detailed, defining moderate consumption as no more than 2 drinks a day for men and only 1 drink for women. Now, while explaining the risks associated with heavy drinking, such as heart disease, liver disease, and some types of cancer, they also defined binge drinking as 5 drinks within 2 hours for men and 4 for women. Yeah. Sodium. Again, falling under the some things never change categories, the general sort of guidance is 2,300 milligrams per day of sodium. That's a minimum, as in our book, right? You know, when I seize until the ancestors say, whoa, that includes salt. Trust me, pretty much everything, and it's funny because oftentimes when I taste something that you've cooked, what would you cook this week? Not today.
But. Oh, I think you were talking about the cream of green bean soup that I made just arbitrarily, because I'm like, oh, I got some green beans hanging around. Let me just make a cream of green bean soup because it's delicious. And I salted it until the ancestors said, whoa, and then stared judgingly. And you were still like, yeah, it could use some salt. I'm like, why did I know you were going to say that? No, in your bowl, it could use some salt. For the rest of the world, it's perfect.
Yes. Well, and I say that. But so, you know, highly processed foods that are high in sodium should be avoided. Well, highly processed foods should be avoided, whether they have high in sodium or not. Now, there's also a section about special needs for specific classes of people, and a section entitled Individuals with Chronic Disease. They actually say individuals with certain chronic disease may experience improved health outcomes when following a lower carbohydrate diet.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been saying that for a long time. Yeah, we've been eating too many carbs. We need to fix that. All right. They also have a specific section for vegetarians and vegans, warning them to pay careful attention to nutrient gaps. Vegetarian diets fall short in vitamin D and E, choline, and iron, whereas vegan diets show broader shortfalls in vitamins A, D, E, B6, and B12, riboflavin, niacin, choline, calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, zinc, and protein. That is a lot of things to be nutrient deficient in. They're not saying don't do it. But they're saying you need to be very careful about, are you getting the stuff that you need, which is...
And interesting enough, if you just eat a steak, get a big old steer, you're going to get all of those vitamins and more.
Yeah. Okay. You'll get to more saturated fat than 10%, but that's not a bad thing. Anyway, that's our take on this. Like I said, we went through it. It's funny because in the document, there's an actually, I'll put the picture in the show notes because it is actually, the inverted, food pyramid. Because we started with Vinnie Tortorich from one of his documentaries about it. We decided that we would play that to give you the sort of the idea that, yeah, maybe this is, this is what it used to be. And now it's, they've made some changes, and again, they're kind of, you know, they're trying to walk back the changes, right? Because they can't come right out and say, you know what, we basically lied to you the whole time. Yeah, they're probably not going to do that. So I can understand kind of why they did it, and okay, step in the right direction, ? But yeah, there's still enough holes that the processed food system can drive holes through it and find ways to get more stuff that's under the guidelines. And yeah, that's not so you got to really be careful. And with what you consume, the official advice is, think about who's in charge, think about what they're trying to do. And you realize that, yeah, the guidelines are, not for your health. Let's just put it that way.
It's also the fact that there's a lot more evidence coming out through just real world things like Vinnie Tortorich and his No Sugar, No Grains, where there's, I would say probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people who are proof. I mean, they are the N for the fact that eating.
Yeah. There's a lot. It's a lot of N equals one. I think there's, yeah. I mean, I think he says he's on his documentaries. He's posted pictures. Hell of me even, nipple pic.
That's right. You're in the fourth documentary that he did, your before and after. And I'm extremely proud of all the work that you've accomplished. And I'm also proud of the work I've accomplished, because when I finally reach my goal, I would love to be able to come up against any naysayer that says, oh, you can't do it healthy, you're going to die, it doesn't work. Well, guess what? Didn't die, still here, look great. What do you got?
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Well, we think we finally got through that story. And so I guess
speaking of eating right, contributing to weight loss, what one woman wished she knew before taking compound semaglutide.
Oh.
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 So writer Kristen Reed shares her weight loss journey with compounded semaglutide, which were obtained through medical professionals at a local med spa and a compounding pharmacy. I want to point out, Foamboy, I found a compounding pharmacy in Oak Ridge.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
I was surprised as everything when I saw the sign. I'm like, you're kidding me. I think it even still has a soda jerk in it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we used to, there's a certain medication we used to get at a compounding pharmacy in like Pulsbo. Which, yeah, the Bemroses will know where Paulsbo is. I forget what it was. It was actually something for the cat or something like that. I can't remember anyway. But yeah, compounding pharmacies I think they try to. I think that it's the people say that they're that there's issues with them. I don't know about that. I mean, they don't want you to take the meds and turn them into things that are not approved.
Yes, God forbid we should actually regulate our own selves and know our own bodies. But moving on from that. So when Kristen started, she weighed 180 pounds. And this was in November of 2023. She stopped at 135 pounds, which occurred in July of 2025. Now, I want to point out something. That is almost 2 full years on this medication. I can tell you, I've seen photographs of a person in one straight year drop way more weight than just 45 pounds from taking Gila Monster Venom. And he didn't take any of the toxic. He just changed his diet. So she says, if I could go back to the first shot of semaglutide, I'd know I needed a timeline and an exit strategy. I would also know that I needed community support from people who understand this particular weight loss journey. I don't regret taking GLP-1 drugs, but here's what I wish I'd known before starting them. She talks about the fact food noise was a constant state of mind before she got the jab. The food noise that had promoted weekly fixes for pound cakes was gone, she said. The absence of that noise, the silence, really was deafening. She missed other signals her body was ending. Painful constipation forced her to confront how little water she was drinking. Turns out dehydration can be a side effect of GLP-1 drugs. We kind of knew that. So GLP-1s slow down your digestive system. That slowdown combined with even mild dehydration can create intense constipation. Staying hydrated is about more than avoiding discomfort. According to research, it suggests that chronic dehydration can cause serious health risks as we age. And when we forget to eat or drink, those risks can accumulate silently. Doctors advise people taking GLP-1 drugs, and most people in general, to exercise at least 30 minutes daily. Regular exercise helps your body maintain metabolism and muscle, which are both at risk while taking GLP-1 drugs. However, Reed lost the motivation to exercise. When she started taking the drugs, she found she had very little energy. At times, she could barely summon the energy to do the mundane tasks, such as answering an email, folding laundry, or taking her toddler to the playground. When patients are low in energy, they're probably not getting enough protein. Protein is necessary for muscle preservation, as well as for general energy needs. So we emphasize protein and vegetables in our diet, and we reduce carbohydrate intake, according to an expert. That kind of directs your body towards burning fat more. We knew that. That's called eating low carb.
If you do that, I mean, again, you may not need to take the GLP-1s, but anyway.
Exactly. So the kind of... She claims she routinely forgot to cook meals for her kids. Judge me if you must, she said, but I was rarely thinking about food for myself, let alone anyone else. Reed quit the drugs cold turkey after she was about 15 pounds away from her goal, but she had stopped losing weight and she had consulted with her doctor, who had not prescribed the injections to begin with. In hindsight, she says she should have planned an exit strategy. The worst part is she tried it again and again. Her doctor wasn't managing her treatment. However, the doctor connected the dots she missed. The hair loss, brittle nails, and her diet. They suspected malnutrition. Now, I've heard this a lot from people using GLP-1 drugs. A lot of people have actually said that they were suffering from a form of malnutrition because you don't want to eat anything. So Reed discovered she needed a weight loss support system. Fortunately, several of her girlfriends also took the GLP-1 drugs and were able to provide her a sounding board. Of course, because these gaggle of women do this shit all together. Because they're all like, look at me, look at me. I'm skinny again after my 5 fuck trophies. Right, and you're going to be dead in a year because your guts stop working. You can't take a shit. Congratulations, you're skinny and dead. So this community gave me permission, Reed said. After years in survival mode, I needed to see women prioritizing themselves, taking up space, investing time and money, asking for what they needed. They showed me what it looked like. Watching them showed me I was allowed to want it too. For Reed, intermittent fasting, deliberate daily movement, and a balanced diet rich in protein and fiber helped her to stay strong, healthy, and motivated. Yeah, you could have done all of that without the jab, sweetheart. So she still eats carbs, but only the ones that are worth eating. Ugh, this made me nuts. Good bread, not mediocre bread. I hate to tell you, but all bread is shit. Doesn't matter if it's $5 a loaf or 50 cents. And while the food noise is still there, she's learned to pause and ask, does my body feel hungry right now? It gave her the silence she needed to start listening to her body again after years of survival mode, which had trained her to ignore it. So she actually didn't change the junk she was eating. She just learned how to have a bit more self-control and eat the higher-end trash panda food, essentially, while taking this jab.
Yeah. By the way, I think you want to listen to her community group that was maybe helping. They were talking about the drugs. I think we can do that.
I'm using Ozempic and Laura's using Mounjaro. Come on, what are you on?
Oh, well, the truth is Ozempic gave me the shit, so I switched to Zepbound.
Oh, Zepbound's the same as Mounjaro, but you don't have to have the diabetes to get it, right?
Yeah, I think Zepbound's the one Tweaks Mom is doing.
Yes, well, yeah, from South Park, yes. That is, and that's, yeah, I mean, there's some of that going on, but I mean, honestly, like, and I can tell you from when, you know, like the Vinnie Tortorich group on Facebook, and I know you, we don't all like Facebook, but, or, you know, social media, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes, yeah, you can find those groups of people that, that eat your dietary pattern on, you know, some sort of a social platform. Yeah, there's, you know, they're not all created equal, of course, and looks like not all diets are created equal, but yeah. Getting, you know, working through some of the stuff, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of variation, and there's some people do slightly better, you know, with one, you know, one little tweak here and there, others don't. Yeah. Finding out what people are doing and what's working for people. I mean, it's, you know, it's better than going at it alone. And yeah, I mean, but I still wouldn't take the Gila Monster Venom. We're not doing that.
Absolutely not.
No. All right. But I think this is I think this story, she talked about in this story, the fact that she was able to listen to her body again. That actually kind of goes with this next story that we're going to do, where a distorted mind-body connection may explain common mental illnesses.
I'm not fat, I'm big boned.
Now, by the time Maggie May, an Arkansas resident in her 30s, was admitted to a psychiatric clinic in 2024, she had been struggling for years with an atypical anorexia nervosa, an eating disorder that leads to severe food restriction and profound disturbances in body images. Now, of course, her name was changed for privacy. She had already tried traditional interventions with a psychotherapist and a dietitian, but they failed to improve her condition. So when May heard about a trial of a new and unconventional therapy, she jumped at the opportunity. Now, the treatment was unusual in that alongside talk therapy, May underwent several sessions in a sensory deprivation chamber, a dark soundproof room where she floated in a shallow pool of water heated to match the temperature of her skin and saturated with Epsom salts to make her feel more buoyant. The goal was to blunt May's external senses, enabling her to feel from within, focusing on the steady thudding of her heart, the gentle flow of air in and out of her lungs, and other internal bodily signals. You know what else it prevents her from doing? Looking at her goddamn phone! Or looking at anything else for that matter, you know? I think, honestly, I think part of the reason that the AIs go, especially like the general purpose ones that people ask their questions in, like ChatGPT get into, they're fed with a bunch of random shit, right? Well, if you don't feed them with a bunch of random shit, they're okay, right? But you feed them with the random shit people say on the internet, all of it, including even books I've written, yeah, they go fucking insane. Yeah, people do too, right? You need to take a break from it. This is, when I looked at this, I'm like, yeah, put me in a fucking sensory deprivation tank for a little bit, you know? That's a good thing. I think it'll help a lot of things, honestly, to do that. Not just your diet or your, I mean, just like, yeah. You need to be able to listen to your body. Your body knows a whole lot more than your brain does, I can assure you.
Will it fix your mute button problem?
No, I don't think anything can fix my mute button problem. Being present will fix my mute button problem. There we go. Now, the ability to connect with the body's inner signals is called interoception. Some people are better at it than others, and one's aptitude for it may change. Yeah, be more present, you know, with what you're doing. Life events can also bolster or damage a person's interoceptive skills. Sahib Khalsa, a psychiatrist and neuroscientist at the University of California, Los Angeles, and his colleagues think a distributed interoception system might be one of the driving forces behind anorexia nervosa. So they decided to repurpose a decades-old therapy called flotation rest for reduced environmental stimulation therapy and launched a trial with it in 2018. They hypothesized that in people with anorexia and some other disorders, an under-reliance on internal signals may lead to an over-reliance on external ones, such as how one looks in the mirror. That ultimately causes a distorted body image, one of the key factors underlying these conditions. When they're in the float environment, they experience internal signals more strongly, Khalsa says, because they're not experiencing anything else. And having that experience may then confer a different understanding of the brain-body relationship that they have. Yeah. You know, we tell people sometimes take a break from what you're doing. Go disconnect, right? That's maybe not what this is, you know, that's a less extreme version of this rest thing. But yeah, sometimes you need to turn it off and just take a breath and listen to your own body, right? It's one of the things that happens in the green room sometimes, right? Studies have implicated problems with this inner sense in a wide variety of conditions, including anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, and borderline personality disorder. Some researchers and clinicians now think that problems in interoception might contribute to many mental illnesses. Alongside this research, which itself is complicated by challenges in testing design and by a less than clear understanding of interoception, other groups are also developing therapies that aim to target this inner sense and boost psychological well-being. This work is circling in on a central message. The body and the mind are inextricably intertwined. We have always thought about mental health conditions as being in the brain or the mind, says Camilla Nord, a professor of cognitive neuroscience at University of Cambridge. But clinicians have long noted that people with mental illnesses frequently report physical symptoms such as abnormalities in heartbeats, breathing, and appetite, she adds. Now, the idea that the body can influence the mind dates back centuries. But the article only references stuff as far back as the 1800s. In reality, the body probably knows a whole lot more than the mind does. Certainly a lot faster, too. The mind is slow. It takes a while for things to, and also gets distracted by shiny. Jane Green knows stressful situations can have an immediate effect on her body. For Green, who has autism, reading a piece of bad news or dealing with a face-to-face confrontation may set off a chain reaction in her body. A rush of adrenaline followed by a pounding heart, bloating and itchiness, among other physical reactions. This is why I got off most of the social media in 2021. Such responses may be linked to an inability to read one's inner body. In 2019, she took a part in a different clinical trial on how resolving the discrepancy between a person's perceived interoceptive abilities and reality could improve anxiety levels in adults with autism spectrum disorder. The intervention in the studies focused on tasks that involved heartbeat detection. After training and testing 121 participants, half of whom were randomly assigned to receive a non-interoception-based control task across six sessions, the team reported in a 2021 paper that this treatment successfully reduced anxiety in their participants and that this effect persisted for at least 3 months. And participating in the trial was a real turning point in Green's ability to deal with anxiety, she says. I recognize now that when I'm stressed, whether I like it or not, my body reacts, she explains. Although she still experiences physical reactions to emotionally charged situations, they're often less severe than they were prior to the treatment. And her knowledge of what's happening in her body has made it easier to cope, she adds. And I would actually argue, before I pull the last quote here, I would say that it's not necessarily that people are unaware of what's going on in their body. They're not paying attention. They're not being present, right? They're not
exactly. They're not too busy.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes, with my allergies, I had to become real present about what I was eating and what I wasn't eating, when some of the transgressions during the last, you know, during the Christmas season, I will say, yeah, and probably earlier, yeah, we needed to clean up things up and it made it really obvious. And yeah, we're still, and yeah. And it seems like with all the warm temperatures we've been having, like, I can't even, like, I mean, it's been so warm here, you know, this is probably one of the warmest winters certainly since I've been here anyway. And yeah, it's like, okay, well, we know the temps are going to drop again. And yeah, that stop and start of the warm temperatures causes things to grow. It was pouring down rain. We went out to the grocery store today. It was pouring down rain and I was sneezing my head off. So I'm not sure what that's about. But anyway, now for May, who participated in the flotation rest trial, what she learned from being cut off from the external world helped her to get through an inpatient stay at an eating disorder clinic where she was being forced to eat and as a result, gain weight. You're working on the things that drove you to come in the first place, but at the same time, your distress with your body is getting worse and worse, she said. So when she was in the flotation chamber, however, May's awareness of her physical body would slip away, reducing some of the negative feelings she had about herself and quieting the worries that swirled in her mind. You can't tell where your body stops and the water begins, May says, because you're completely buoyant. And you also have no sense of the ways that your body distresses you. Yeah, because you're floating. You're not, you're not standing on your feet or whatever, which, any sort of contact sometimes with a hard object. Yeah. I mean, like when I was having trouble with my neck, it didn't really matter sometimes how I was laying down. It just hurt, right? And there was nothing I could do about it. And yeah. the floating in water like that, yeah, in a chamber like that, yeah, you're forced to sort it because you've got nothing there, right, to distract you or anything. You're just in total darkness, floating in the water, right? Yeah, you're gonna become real aware of what's going on in your body because that's about the only thing you've got. And honestly, yeah, we all need to do this more, right? We need to pay attention to the signs in our body. We need to even take some time where we're not, we're not actually doing anything, right? And certainly, like, I mean, sometimes I just, I go off into the green room and I'm not even smoking. I'm just sitting in there, right? Because sometimes you just need to have that few minutes to yourself, and it helps a lot for mental capabilities and such. But all right, well, I think we're now time to go to the cavalcade of stupidity, and I've got to hit a button here. So let's do that, shall we?
Heidi ho, pedal heads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. And since I'm MIA, here's Phone Boy to take over.
Well, I will admit I forgot to check if Rev dropped something today, but I knew
he's been really busy with fam. I'm not sure if he's back to work, but even if he didn't, we've got a real treasure for you this week, folks.
Yeah, we do. So Timothy Collins Wilson, born August 5th, 1961, died February 26, 2014, was an American comedian and country music artist whose act combined stand-up comedy and original songs. He released more than a dozen comedy albums, including several for Capitol Records Nashville, and has made frequent appearances with Will Height and Wall, John Boy and Billy, Big D and Bubba, and the Bob and Tom Show. Wilson also appeared on numerous television programs, including The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and American Revolution Country Comedy on CMT, which I guess is Country Music Television. In 2011, Wilson appeared on CMT's Ron White's Comedy Salute to the Troops. And in 2012, Wilson appeared on the Showtime comedy special Billy Gardell Road Dogs, with Gardell hosting along with comedians Ben Creed and Kenny Rogerson.
I just want to point out, I saw Billy Gardell perform live in Indiana at the casino. It was an amazing night. Front row, I can post some pics in the chat if you would like me to, but I do have some great pics of Billy Gardell on stage from that performance, which is not who we're highlighting, but I just thought I'd mention, hilarious comedian.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, this track that we're going to be playing an excerpt of is from the album It's a Sorry World, which was released in 1999. Now, the title of this will tell you how old it's been.
Daryl Waltrip, Richard Petty, Rusty Awesome Bill, Irving Gordon, Earnhardt Smith, Johnson Jr. You're welcome.
She named me Daryl Waltrip, Richard Petty, Rusty Awesome Bill, Irving Gordon, Earnhardt Smith, Johnson Jr. I guess you could say Mama was a NASCAR fan. I was born in Talladega up in the stands. The fans all cheered the second I arrived. The loudspeaker said the boy's born to drive. We didn't have money for a pacifier, so I sucked on the valve off a Goodyear tire. A 7-pound, 8-ounce son of the South, born with a taste for racing in my mouth. She named me Dale, Darrell, Waltrip, Richard Petty, Rusty Awesome Bill, Irvin Gordon, Earnhardt Smith, Johnson Jr. I got my first real stock car when I was 9. And oh, when Mama bought off a Jeb Bodine, the Winston Cup people said the boy's too young.
All right, we'll play the full version of that in Studio 33. But
absolutely love that song.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now, I guess it's time for the Tales from Rideshare segment, is it not?
Yeah, we had a couple people who took that ride this week. I actually am proud to report I managed to work all 5 days this week, which I know people would be like, yeah, what do you want, a cookie? Coming back off of the massive loss that I had at the end of the year, beginning of December, I'm proud of myself. I don't give a shit if anyone else is. But I'm glad that I did work this week because I had a couple of very interesting events. The first one was an amazing woman who's actually from the great state, who am I fucking kidding? That shithole on the left coast you all call Washington State. Yeah, that's where this wonderful token granny is from. And she was out in Oak Ridge visiting some family for some business, and she happened to catch my ride. And she said, as soon as she... Now, I knew she was going to be full of piss and vinegar, just a pistol all the way, and she was. She was so great. She comes. She had. I guess she had to come from like across the hospital, third floor. Not sure exactly how far, but she was looking like when she come out that door, she was just shuffling. She looked like she was going to be a lot of fun. And I remember telling Tigger on the phone that, oh my God, I got a spunky granny. This one's going to be great. And damn if she wasn't. She gets in the car and she was like, y'all don't have vape shops around here, do you? I said, yeah, we do. She was like, I didn't think it was legal. I said, well, it's not. But, and then I proceeded to tell her about how THCA, when you decarboxylate it by, you know, lighting it after you grind it, phew, THC, it's great, it's wonderful, yada. So she found a vape. I brought her to the vape store that was not too far from where we were going. And brought her there. We had a wonderful conversation. I even hopefully imparted some wisdom on how to get her vape past TSA. Oh, did I say that out loud? Anyway, I don't know if she did it. It was her idea, not mine. I would never take that chance because as much as I kind of sort of have the idea how to do it, the last thing I need is to miscalculate and be wrong. That's not some noise that I need from, you know, the federal. But who wants to fly nowadays anyway? But to get back to Washington from our wonderful state, I guess you kind of have to. However, there was another rider who, actually, no, I take that back. This wasn't even a rider. This was literally my son and I doing deliveries on Friday because it was 2.5 Ben's week. So go check out episode, what number is it, Foamboy?
I haven't posted
when
it.
When you upload it.
It'll be 15.
Okay, so episode 15, when he finally gets it uploaded, of 2.5 Bens, go check it out. It's fantastic. But getting back to the story I was telling, so my son is with me, and we had a pickup at Jersey Mike's, which is a sub shop if you're not familiar with it. I don't think they're that great. Danny DeVito advertises for them. He's really funny. We like him. Don't like the subs. But I watch my son, who has my phone, and I'm running my other phone at the time. And I watch him come out the door, and there's, of course, my rideshare is red. There's another red car. If you come out the door, it's to the left. I was to the right. He's in such a hurry. He rushes out the door, goes to the left, gets to the window about the time that I hit my horn because I see what he's about to do, and starts talking to the woman, to which she looks up and responds, wrong car. He spins around. He's so embarrassed. I'm falling out. I'm laughing so hard because I'm like, dude, it doesn't even look like my car. That car looks zero. It's an old hoopty looking thing. I got a sweet looking ride as a hoopty. I just thought it was the funniest thing that he was so embarrassed, poor thing. I'm like, why are you embarrassed, dude? Like, crap happens. I thought it was hilarious. But that's about all I had from my ride shares this week. This week sucked ass. I'm going to whine a little bit, like as if that's a change, because I have to get a hold of Uber and have them stop sending me requests to do the park and let them bring you your groceries at Walmart for delivery, because this stuff has ruined my rating. They're not giving me rides that are above like $3 and $5, which I cannot live on. I've been forced to switch my platform because of it, all because my rating tanked over Christmas, because every time I turned around trying to do deliveries, I'm getting hit with Walmart requests. So I'm just going to put a quietus on that altogether. I'm not doing any Walmarts. They are not worth it. The money isn't there, especially because you want me to take 3 separate orders for like 10 bucks. How about no? But with that, I think it's time possibly to jam.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
All right, so, well, I hope you have the plan to call into 253-237-3321 and let us know what your favorite snowman story is. That's what we're talking about this week. We still need to come up with a topic for next week, but that is a...
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But we had a lot going on this week. So I think actually this is probably a good... This is the segment that we do anyway, but it leads into the next topic. So what are you cooking?
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Yeah, I did make actual food that is cooked, and it didn't come anywhere near the slop that Denny's serves, because this was high-quality chow. It was absolutely delicious. And it was barbecue chicken legs that were dusted, not with that sauce that's got all kinds of sugar and shit in it. They were cleanly dusted with some barbecue dust and butt rub. And we had some coleslaw that I made from scratch, the dressing for. And I did phone it in. I got prepackaged coleslaw mix. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, sue her.
Yeah, so sue me. You know, usually I would take a head of cabbage, slice it into ribbons, and make it lovely. But even though I cheated on the coleslaw, the dressing was banging. The chicken legs were absolutely delicious, and it was totally...
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Now, I think I want to point something out. We've already had the dinner because, well, because we moved the time slot.
We did.
Yeah. But and you might ask why we moved the time slot. I think, well, first of all, I think we moved the time... I think it's probably worth reiterating the sort of the etymology of the time slot that we picked, right? Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. Well, that was about the time, so when we first started doing this podcast, you were driving a truck, and that was about, that's about the time you were actually got back someplace where you could...
I could be pretty much assured I'd be home by that time.
Or at least stationary, right?
You know, if you home equal back to my truck, because during the time that we started this and until such time as you and I physically moved into Casa Lotus here, I was living in my tractor trailer while working. So when I say home, home equaled my personal vehicle pulling into the parking lot where my 18-wheeler was parked so that I could get in my bunk, set up all of my equipment, including my Note 9 and my microphone connected to it, etc.
Yeah.
And so that was why 5 Eastern worked, because by that time, even if I had to... stay out over Friday night into Saturday for my job, I could still be home, parked and able to be on the microphone.
Yeah. So, well, things happened in the new year, and we decided we were going to reevaluate a whole lot of things, right? And so one of the things we decided to do was move the time slot, right? And there's some other stuff behind the mic, but we're also taking on kind of a new project, you might say. And this is where some of the purchases we've made this week and stuff have come in. So you want to talk about it?
And talk about just-in-time delivery, Amazon. It was probably not 5 minutes, and I'm not exaggerating, before I was ready to start doing the recording on the Lotus Cafe, which is the channel on YouTube that I now upload the videos of what I cook for you fine folks to see. You wish you could taste. I know you do. But you know what? Because I'm doing these videos, I'm showing you how to shop for, what utensils to use, and how to cook all of these wonderful items that I make. The barbecue chicken and coleslaw is going to be the first video that is uploaded to the channel once the post-production is done. But I had a lot of fun actually having a GoPro on my boobs while I shopped today. Like you said, only one person had made a comment about, you know, was it a, I think he said, you know, he asked, the bagger asked a question about, like, was it a personal camera? Was it whatever? And I'm like, actually, it's a GoPro. And, you know, I was doing the shopping portion of my new cooking video, because I think it's important to understand that, I mean, people in my generation, yeah, they probably know how to shop and cook and this and that. Younger generation, maybe not as much. Let's face it, parents are busy. They aren't like me. I taught my children how to cook, from simple things like how to make bacon and eggs to the fact that they were baking chocolate chip cookies before they were double digits. So I figured a really good way to start this new year, since I wanted to start the cooking channel anyway, it adds value to this show, and it also gives people who may not be familiar with how to go and pick certain items for a recipe, or how to cook that recipe step by step. And it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to not know. I've learned so much from YouTube videos, as have many people that I know. Hell, my father even used YouTube videos, and he was a fantastic mechanic. He was a jack-off of all trades and masturbator of none. But I would see him pull up a YouTube video if he didn't quite know how to, or needed a little refresher on how to fix something, and he got a lot of value from it. So I figured, why not put out videos where people can see not only how to shop for it, what it will cost, and how to prepare it. So that's what I'm doing. And like I said, tonight's dinner of barbecued chicken legs and thighs with coleslaw will be the first uploaded video, and I had a lot of fun doing it. So I'm glad that I have the opportunity to share this with you folks, and I'm hoping that you will check out the video. I know some of you don't like YouTube, and that's okay, but we're going to branch out into other platforms along the way. It was just easier because I already had my channel for YouTube up running. It has like a 4-year start date. So I'm definitely clicking all the boxes they want to be able to make this successful.
Yeah, well we're also going to, I think we're also going to put the, like, we're putting the podcast on YouTube. I mean, this is one of the things we need to sort of deal with behind the mic, but to sort of consolidate all that because, so we're actually going to, we're going to import the RSS feed and all of that. We're trying to get in more things. And it also, I guess it also gives me more, gives me something to do, like video editing, which I know how to do because I've done a little bit of that. So this is not it's actually playing with a GoPro has been kind of fun, right? I mean, because the guitar, wearing that, I mean, I used it to do which I'll talk about that again. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, I've been using it too, and but it does have an app that you got it was a little bit annoying. Before you could use the camera, you had to update it. There was no getting around it. And you know, they want you to use a smartphone app. And they used to have an app on the Mac, and they've deprecated it. And it's like, okay, well, now you have to use a mobile app. Like, are you fucking kidding me, people? But, okay, I haven't signed in for anything, thankfully. I was able to pull the, and it uses like a private Wi-Fi network to transfer the data from the phone to the, from the GoPro to the, the phone. And then it can upload to, from there you can put it wherever you want. So, it actually does. We were funny. We were Waldorf and Statlering ourselves. We're mostly Waldorf and Statlering you, by airplaying it to the television and watching the raw footage just to see if it worked, because we did some testing to make sure that it all worked. We had to put some lighting in the kitchen, and because the lighting,
oh my god, I do love the fact we have new lighting in the kitchen, though, even though they are these under cabinet magnetized lights that recharge. Wow, what a difference in being able to see. There's just frankly not enough lighting in the kitchen here.
There's not enough lighting in this damn place anyway, right?
But it's Disneyland construction, but yeah. These lights were very inexpensive, and I think they made a world of difference in the video production quality of how everything looked. And we were even, I remember when we were watching the video, you made the comment that it sounded like I had been doing this for a while, which kind of made me snicker because I've watched plenty of these cooking videos. If I have something pop up that I see like, ooh, that looks delicious, I will, I don't need the sound on it. I can read subtitles. I'm very literate. But I don't know. I mean, between the culinary chops that I have, the training that I have, and the fact that I do this show with you for 4 years now, where essentially it's the same thing minus video, where I'm just talking like you guys are in front of me. So I just kind of step by step, this is what we're doing and this is how we're doing it. To me, it didn't seem all that difficult once I got started.
This is because like I said behind the mic, I'm like, look, we've done all of this before. The only thing we haven't, this is the first time we've done this, right? And so we're working through the, the process of actually doing it, right? We're kind of, because me, I was trying to figure out how to get the footage off of the camera and so on, right? And then, where am I going to edit it? That kind of thing. Like, installing Final Cut Pro, which I use for work sometimes. And, I'm using it for something of my own. It's stuff that we've had. Yeah, we had to buy the GoPro. And honestly, I'm actually kind of impressed with it, with this little camera. I was, it's a little bit connected, that, which has its own issues, I'm sure. At least it's on its own private Wi-Fi network. So hopefully, and you don't leave that thing on the whole time. Anyway, I'm actually kind of impressed with this thing, like the quality. I think it even has external lenses and stuff you can put on it if you need to. But this was quite a machine. It was a little bit, we're still trying to figure this stuff out, right? This is I know how to do it, but doing it in the context of a show and YouTube and all this other stuff has been a bit of a challenge. But it's been kind of fun, honestly. Like this is I mean, yeah, you know, you do this stuff really good, honey. It's just a matter. We just have to do a little bit of cleanup on what you did. And, you know, and yeah, there's a lot more work that goes into this than you think to do it the right way. Right. With, you know, with good information that's provided and, you know, show notes and, you know, and all this stuff. Yeah. It's going to take a little bit of time to get this. And also it's had an effect on our life too, because yeah, in order to do this on our Saturday meals, right, we now have to, there's all kinds of things in order to do our Saturday dinner and complete it on time. We have to do a whole lot of other things beforehand, right? We have to plan things and do, it's actually been really good, because it's kind of forced us to up our game in other areas of our life too, right?
It certainly has, because in order to, and I admit, like this first video, I arguably screwed up, because I should have been articulating the amounts that were measured into my little bowls before putting them in. I did, you know, correct it, so to speak. After I got done putting everything in the bowl, it was like, look, here's the measurements. I'll get better. And I don't expect perfection first thing out of the gate.
Also, repping Casey Farms, which, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to rep the chicken folks for the wonderful meat.
Exactly, yeah. A side digression. So I went to go visit them this week. They come to a place here near where we live on Wednesdays. And I messaged them from time to time. But I showed up and said, hey, need some chicken. And I told them what we were planning to do here. And yeah, they were like, yeah, that's great. You know, they say, we'll even talk about your stuff. Like, well, we failed to do that, but that's okay. That's all right.
It's one video where I failed. I'm going to be a lot better going forward, because I'm going to kind of pen myself a quick script so I can make sure to mention all of the things that I need to mention, like the chicken coming from Casey Farms or the beef coming from, I got to find out from Ruth what the name of their company is so I can properly represent it. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, obviously, as we talk about, like on the show, when we talk about like Mountain Madness soap, not because we're getting an endorsement or we're being paid. We just love the product, much like the Villa Capelli, yeah, much like the, you know, Eat Happy Kitchen. These are products that we use. They're products we believe in. We're not getting any kickback for mentioning them. Maybe if the channel gets big, the following gets large, lots of subscribers and whatnot, maybe then these companies might find out that I'm out here doing this and might volunteer to kick a couple of shekels into my bank account for what I'm doing. But that's, again, the main reason we do this show, much like the main reason I'm doing the YouTube channel, is not for monetary fortune and fame, because I don't expect I'm going to get it. It's simply because we want to make a difference in people's lives. And we're always saying that, you know, oh, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, you can start locally. One becomes two becomes four.
Exactly. Well, yeah. So anyway, this is a work in progress. You know, we're going to continue to iterate on it. And then it'll be faster. Hopefully we won't be coming in on two wheels and a banana peel next time. But
because as I had said during behind the scenes, that next week I'll have to start roughly an hour earlier, depending on what I'm making in order to get it.
Well, exactly. We had a lot of, like I said, there was a lot of things that we had to do before we could do it. Right. Before we could do so I think next time we'll be tighter, even starting earlier. Yeah. I think that should be just fine. But, let's see, what else do I have in the toast and jam? So around Christmas time, I bought myself a guitar, which I will say that, my dad used to play guitar, and it's always something that I've wanted to do. I tried to learn how to play it at 10 years old, and it did not, it didn't stick, whatever, you know, stuff was going on. It just kind of fell out of my ethos. But, recently I've been kind of thinking like, music means a whole lot to me, and being to be able to actually play it, you know. Nice. So I've been finding things on YouTube to practice, you know, to get to practice and stuff. And it's like, well, you might as well use YouTube, to get something out of it, useful. So yeah, I'm not going to play anything anytime, you know, at least not now. I'm just still trying to get my hands on it and try to actually be able to play something and have it be, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm still trying to learn how to play it. So, but I'm happy that I have that. And I also, you know, and it's funny because Phoenix at one point gave me the, you know, actually, Phoenix, while you're over there, I'm going to roll a dice. You're already doing something, but if you're going over to my tarot box, because I need to pull that out, right? I'm going to actually, I need to do a dice roll here, and it's going to, I need to find my 12-sided dice, but I have decided, I've decided to resurrect Phoneboy Speaks, which was my old sort of solo podcast, but now I'm doing it in video. What does that mean? Well, I've been taking my my philosophical thoughts that I've been having and throwing them on a video camera. I've been doing it on my phone. But I've also been doing it on, okay, thank you. You picked one at random for me. Oh, this is a new one.
I picked one of the ones that I purchased for you over Christmas because I know you're going to talk about that when you're done talking about your resurrection of Phoneboy Speaks.
Yes. So, I have a YouTube channel. I've actually been on YouTube for, I don't know, I guess my YouTube, I had a YouTube going back to 2006. Yeah. When I got my MacBook, I think is when I had something with a video camera, I was playing with it initially. So yeah, I guess I'm going back to doing video. I've got videos I posted from 2006, although I think I hid those videos. So yeah, now we've got some new stuff and so I've got about four or five things up there. It's called Phoneboy Speaks Again. Right. And I haven't decided, I'm not going to do it like daily, but yeah, the GoPro, I tell you what, using the GoPro versus trying to do it with my phone is a whole, it's a whole lot easier. Although that, you know, we still have to, you know, there is a few extra steps because I have to transfer the stuff off of the GoPro, but it can be done. It was funny because when I did the last video that I did, I walked out to the location to do the recording. And by the time I had walked back to the car, I had transferred the video off of the, while walking through the forest, I transferred the video off of the GoPro and had it on my phone. So, you know, it's actually not so bad, even though it takes a little time. You just have to plan. But, as I post things there, I'll probably share them as part of the show. They're not necessarily related to the show, although I do plug the show, in it, but. All right, now one of the things we are going to do, right, that we talked about doing is we did oil and tarot, right? Well, I got a hankering to buy tarot decks during the last few weeks, and so I have, and in fact I've even bought, I just bought a couple more today, and you know the idea, and I don't know, I mean I kind of started working with tarot way back in the, you know, before the insurrection, and I was listening to Behind the Schemes and some of the other stuff, and I got interested in it, and I said okay, well, so I bought a couple of tarot decks. Somebody bought me a tarot deck, and anyway, I kind of got interested in it while I was trying to figure out what the hell I was doing with my life, right? Because I knew I wasn't happy, right? This in 2021, I was that was the last year of my marriage, and it was the second year of COVID, so I was like, you know, I was kind of, the universe kind of forced me and a lot of other people to figure our shit out, right? And that's one of the things I did. I didn't have anybody to talk to, so well, I had a tarot deck, and you know, I find it's an interesting way to get one's, I don't know. It's an interesting way to surface things that you may not want to, that you may not realize or may not want to talk about. So, I don't know. I like some of these, this is called the stained glass tarot deck that I've got here. And I'll post a picture of this stuff as I'm sitting here shuffling the cards. But I think my goal here with this is to pick a couple of cards and kind of do a collective, you know, those who are listening live kind of thing. What might we want to do?
Actually, I thought that the best idea for this, if I may,
okay,
is to do a three draw and then read what the cards mean. And people can interpret for themselves how or if it affects their life.
Yeah. Well, I think and so there's a couple ways to do that. There's the official meanings, which I'll read from the book here, right? Because I have the book that it comes with. But some of these cards also have different meanings. And if you look at the cards themselves, there might be other meanings there, but it's kind of individual and personal. That's kind of what I figured with tarot. So yeah, I'm kind of doing it, but I'm doing my draw a little differently here. We're going to take this card right here, which is the World, right? I'll post a picture of this in the chat, and of course it'll be in the show notes as to what we got here. So we've got the World that came up first, right? And that's a great card. You know, then we've also got the Eight of Pentacles. that I've come up with, and we're going to have one more here. I haven't decided what that one card is yet. This is a brand new. This is a brand new deck. I pulled it out and put it in. You bought me this beautiful case to put my tarot cards in. I mean, it's a wooden box. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely something that I was like, oh, that's actually really nice. Yeah. So,
but quality for you, baby.
Yeah. Okay. So, my third card. We have the world. We have the Eight of Pentacles and we have the Knight of Swords that I have popped out of the deck here. So, you know, the world is, yeah, I mean, kind of the world is, you've kind of reached the end of the journey. You've reached the end of this journey, you know, whatever that journey is, right? That's usually what it means. And you've sort of, the world is, yeah, you've kind of achieved the, you have achieved something, right? And you've gotten to the end of a journey, right? And the world is at your fingertips kind of thing, right? I'll read what it says here. So this is a major arcana, number 21. It's called the world. You have finally accomplished your goal or purpose, and you're in the right place doing the right thing. You feel whole and complete. You are in tune with cosmic consciousness and in perfect union with the universe, and you have a universal understanding. Well, yeah. And then we get the Eight of Pentacles here. And when I think about the Eight of Pentacles, I kind of think of the Eight of Pentacles as, eights in general, at least when I think about tarot, is there's a lot of, you know, you kind of have to work through. You're gathering steam. You're working through. You know, you're not able to move as fast as you would like. But you're kind of like gearing up. You're building up. You're waiting for the right time, almost, right? And pentacles talk about prosperity, right? They talk about wealth, right? So, and there's a lot of ways to look at that. Now, I will read what the Eight of Pentacles is here in our, it's also sometimes called the coins, depending upon your some of the decks, right? So by the way, all three of these cards are upright. So this is a time of hard work, commitment, and diligence and dedication. You are developing your skills through repeating tasks to achieve mastery of your craft. You are methodically working towards something you want. You're on the brink of achieving great success and fulfilling your ambition. Yeah. So I pulled that pretty, yeah, without actually, like I said, I've done enough of these and I've even been watching some of the readers here that do some of this stuff. Right. And so some of these meanings I think are, you know, again, but they can, the cards have meanings, but they might have meanings to you when you look at some of the cards too. Right. The third card I drew was the Knight of Swords, right. Which is definitely, you know, again, you're taking action, doing things. And even maybe with some, you know, maybe even with some power to it, right? You're moving ahead, maybe making a mistake here or there, you know, but you're taking action, you're making progress, you're doing all of the right things.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that, what did you say the cards you drew were again?
The world?
Yeah.
Eight of Pentacles and the Knight of Swords.
That wasn't what you said the first time.
What did I say?
I don't remember, but it was another one of the either...
No, you can see the cards right here.
No, I can, but what I'm telling you is when you first said what you drew, it wasn't Arcana for the third card.
The third card is not... The first card is Major Arcana. The other two are Minor. So.
But also, usually Cups or Pentacles and stuff are non-Arcana. I could have sworn you said your third card was a non. My bad.
Okay. Well, anyway, I said it was the Knight of Swords.
I might have thought you said nine.
Yeah.
And that's probably where I got confused. I apologize.
Yeah, the Knight of Swords. Yes.
You
are an ambitious and excellent at what you do, driven to success and are present great leadership qualities. You are ready to jump in and seize the moment. You're a risk taker, exciting, forward thinking, and adventurous. Just be careful with being impulsive or impatient. It could lead to hasty decisions. You're not afraid to go against the flow. You are a champion or a warrior charging into a battle. Yeah, I mean, that honestly, like, those cards feel like what we're kind of doing right now. I mean,
I was literally thinking, wow, that sounds like a personal draw that the universe sent directly to you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I didn't ask a question. I just said, here, give me the cards that you're going to give me. I'm going to put the, I'm going to put a picture of the cards in the show notes here. But yeah, this is, and I also got to put it in the chat. So, there's the Eight of Tentacles. Yes, there's actually, it's funny. One of the decks I have is actually a Pulp Fiction tarot. Why is this not letting me upload? because I'm trying to let it upload and it's like it's
because
not...
technology sucks.
Okay, anyway, I'll
but
have to
in
do
the
it
meantime
later.
Of you trying to upload it, I would imagine that have we toasted and jammed
enough? I think we've toasted and jammed enough. Yes, I think we've done that, and I think we can go on to the next segment, which is
the world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
253-237-3321. We want to know, and we had a few pedal heads weigh in, and it's not too late. You can still call and tell us your favorite snowman story. And we will play it before the end of the show, or at the end of the show. That will be our last call, so to speak, is if we receive any more calls. So feel free to call 253-237-3321 and tell us your favorite snowman story, like this particular pedal head has done.
Howdy ho, good neighbors. Phoenix, infant boy. Probably calling in after the show, like I normally do. Yeah. Feels like every other week, like I said. But yeah, hanging out with one of the, doing a little one-on-one with one of the nibblings. Just what we call all our nieces and nephews. So anyway, doing that, and then it's never time to walk off and make a vocal mail, leave a vocal mail. So anyway, here we are. First encounter with a snowman. I don't know. TV probably, I'm sure. Some television show. Like one of, or probably one of those, like, the classic, stop motion ones.
Rankin Bass, folks.
Probably something to do with that. In fact, we have some of the nibblings over for Christmas and or for a Christmas thing, and we watched the classic one of the classic ones with like where Rudolph gets invented or gets whatever Rudolph story sort of thing, and they got the snowman in there. But yeah, and I guess if I've actually really built a snowman, I think I tried like a little bit, but not at the snow enough to really do the snowman thing, to spend the time to like build something like that's not like just a dinky little nothing, you know, three little blobs on top of each other if you're lucky. So anyway, yeah, so there's that. I hope you guys are having a fantabulous, you already are, but we know that, but a fantabulous Saturday or whatever day you're listening to this on. So all right, love you guys, stay dangerous, and whether or not there's a ball in the pocket, oh, the balls are on the table. Go ahead and give a hearty, hearty
caca. Caca! Thank you, Sir Christopher Battles. That was great. You know, and I assume that this one didn't get a lot of voicemails. I don't think, but that's
okay.
Yeah. Well, also maybe we changed the start time, and not everybody gets snow.
We definitely caused a large ripple in the pond today.
Well. I guess. I don't know. We did. Well, we definitely, that's the other thing. Definitely doing these videos forces us to go out occasionally.
Yeah, it does actually force us to go out and interact with other humans, which we talk about all the time, like get off your computers and your electronics and actually, you know, join us, 07 of 9.
Yeah.
And that's basically what this is making us do, is really be present. So I want to hear this next pedalhead's snowman story, and then we'll talk about ours.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're asking for my favorite snowman story. I guess I got two. The first one is just simply cute, which is we went up on the 1st, so just, what, a week ago, week and a half ago, up into the mountains near Crystal Mountain Ski Resort. To go find snow with the kids, and they each made a little snowman, and they posed behind them, so they each have their own little snowman. And when I say little, I mean these were little, like total height 12 or 14 inches each. They were tiny little snowmen. There wasn't that much snow on the ground. It was just really cute. But my favorite snowman story was I still had some leftover M80s from 4th of July. I made a snowman that was probably 3 feet tall. The head was probably 8 or so inches across. And I made this snowman, stacked it up on the ground, carved out, I even did like, you know, sticks for a nose, little pebbles for a mouth, rocks for eyes, stuff like that. So it's like very clearly a snowman. And I carved out from the back of its head a tunnel in, stuck that M80 in, put an extra long fuse on it, lit it, and then came around the front, took a video of me going, bad snowman, bad. And right at the right time, that M80 went off. And the whole head exploded. Snow, shrapnel everywhere. Fantastic. Unfortunately, this was back in the day when recording on my phone, it was a flip phone, and I don't ever know what happened to that video. Wish I still had that. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
That's a great story.
That's a really great story. I can just picture that head exploding.
Yeah, so, okay, talking
and about... And Snow Shrapnel is now a show title.
Yes, I've written down Snow Shrapnel, yes. Okay, so my snowman memories, because as a kid, I grew up on the left coast, and more specifically in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yeah, snow was not something we got a whole lot of. So when I had children, and I lived in the Pacific Northwest, and encountered snow, I had to learn how to make a snowman, which, you know, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, when the few times it happened, yeah, I was probably the one out there doing it. And even the kids were not maybe that interested in it. So I don't know. I can't say I've had a lot of great snowman memories other than watching Frosty the Snowman on the Rankin, you know, that old Rankin Bass version, you know, the stop animation or whatever the hell it was. But yeah, that's about as much as I have of snowmen. So, but anyway, what do you got?
Well, yeah, I think we had a lot of people who really aren't into the snowman thing, and that's fine. I too can remember when my kids were younger and we lived in the Northeast that, we had a lot of snow, but the most memorable snowman story actually happened down here, if you can believe it. We do actually occasionally get snow. And we were living in the first house when we moved down here. And it was a nice packy snow where you could take a snowball and roll it on your lawn and it completely leave a clean path. And we made a giant snowman and it was the most fun. I don't think we did the whole, you know, carrot nose, coal eye type thing, but we definitely had three pretty hefty balls of snow mounted up on one another. And my kids loved going outside. I was the parent who is so old school. It was more like, go out and get some fresh air. Go out and play. Do not think that you're going to sit and rot your brain watching television or nowadays, you know, being on smartphones and things. It's just not healthy for you. Just get out and play, move. So go build a snowman with your kids, folks. Engage them, get them off the electronics and get them back into real life.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, all right. If you have a favorite snowman story, even if we're not live, if you feel like sharing that with us, you can call or text 253-237-3321 and we'll play it whenever we go, you know, whenever we do another show, which, you know, we do it weekly. So, you know, weekly, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. There we go. That's when we start. We try to start around that time going forward. And now we're into. So now I think we're. I don't know what to call that. Basically, like, it's the second half of the show, but it's still health. I don't even know what clip we're playing at this point for that.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about that. That was one thing that didn't get done. Is yeah. A second clip to introduce the second half of the health, because it's still never, ever.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah, and I think this is actually your story here, by the way, that we got going on here.
Well, isn't that just special? Because scientists are finding that drinking this much coffee actually slows down aging in certain groups.
Drink the coffee, it'll make you feel better.
New research connects drinking 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day to slower biological aging, increasing lifespan up to 5 years. So I know a certain somebody on the leftist coast over there who's going to live to fucking forever because the man drinks more coffee than we do. And that's saying a lot here in Casa Lotus because coffee is a food group. It is consumed liberally. So study participants were people with severe mental illnesses or SMIs. But experts say the findings could be applicable to the general public. This isn't the first study to connect drinking coffee to lifespan. The study published in BMJ Mental Health followed 436 people with SMIs and found that participants who drank 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day had a lower average biological age by up to 5 years compared to non-coffee drinkers. Therefore, the coffee drinkers could potentially live up to 5 years longer. The benefits plateaued and declined once the amount consumed reached 5 cups daily. The study also did not discuss how participants drank their coffee, for example, black, because black coffee matters, or with cream and sugar. Leave out the sugar, keep the heavy cream, but I digress. They also did not mention how big are these cups of coffee, because I will take down between 30 and 60 ounces a day, depending on how busy my day is going to be. I pour it up and chug it down. So biological age was measured by telomere length, which was collected via blood samples. Telomere length is the span of the DNA sequences at the ends of chromosomes that protect genetic material during cell division. Now, this is explained by Gary Small, who is an MD psychiatrist and the director of behavioral health breakthrough therapies at Hackensack Meridian Health. Shorter telomeres are associated with both psychiatric vulnerability and mortality. They're likely not a cause, but a mediator or biological marker of disease or life expectancy. The study followed people with SMIs such as schizophrenia, major depression, and bipolar disorder. Telomeres are highly sensitive to oxidative stress and inflammation, which are common in patients with SMIs and likely contribute to telomere shortening, according to Dr. David J. Fien, who is an associate professor of clinical psychiatry at LSUHSC School of Medicine in New Orleans.
That's where LSU comes from there.
You know, that's what I was thinking of. I'm like, LSU, that's obviously Louisiana State. Go Tigers.
Yes.
So the longer the telomere, the less degradation of the chromosome and the less cellular aging. The life extending potential in a morning cup of Java comes... morning cup of Java. Sorry. My computer thing went nuts in my head. A morning cup of Java comes down to antioxidants, experts note. Coffee is rich with them and anti-inflammatory plant compounds, which help to minimize the effects of oxidative stress and inflammation, thus preserving telomere length, according to Dr. Fine. Dr. Smalls adds, oxidative stress is a key driver of accelerated aging, and heightened inflammation contributes to many age-related diseases that reduce life expectancy, including cancer, dementia, and heart disease. Coffee consumption also improves metabolic health, reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes. Coffee contains caffeine, which is itself has been associated with longer telomere length by increasing certain enzymes that are involved in telomere length and maintenance, namely the enzyme TERT, or telomerase reverse transcriptase, according to Dr. Fine. Of course, the article says it's possible that these findings are relevant to a general population, but it's a leap to make such a generalization. It's also worth noting that the majority of coffee's research benefits apply to black coffee without cream or sugar, you racist, which tends to limit the beverage's health benefits and may even contribute to metabolic health problems. Yes, you have heard us talk about it. Black coffee is best. Other than that, heavy cream only.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what else to say about it, but of course, drinking coffee. Yeah, it's one of the most healthy beverages that are out there. Black coffee, anyway, right? Because it does. I mean, some people might be sensitive to caffeine, but and maybe some people are really sensitive to caffeine. But you know, as long as again, if you listen to your body, you know that maybe I shouldn't have that extra cup of coffee. But anyway.
But it isn't going to hurt you. Actually, having that extra cup of coffee, so to speak, depending on how big the cup of coffee is, could actually lengthen your life by 5 years.
Yeah. Now, we'll go into the next story, which I think an opening clip for this story would have been, I'm on the drug. Anyway.
You know what? We should probably pull that. That is fantastic tism, but go ahead.
ADHD drugs work, but not the way experts thought.
Drugs.
Now, the stimulants Ritalin and Adderall have been used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, which has been renamed itself many times for decades. But research shows they don't act on the brain's attention circuitry as had long been assumed. Instead, the medications primarily target the brain's reward and wakefulness centers, according to a new study published in the journal Cell. Whose cell are we talking about? That's what I want to know. The research, which used brain imaging data from almost 5,800 children ages 8 to 11, also pointed toward the important role that lack of sleep plays in the disorder. When I first saw the results, I thought I had just made a mistake because none of the attention systems are changing here, said Benjamin Kay, one of the study's authors and a professor of neurology at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. It's not that the stimulants are ineffective. The paper clearly shows that they help, said Nico Dosenbach, another of the authors and a professor of neurology at the university. They help kids who have a diagnosis of ADHD do better in school and do better on tests, and they help kids who don't sleep enough, and a lot of Americans don't sleep enough. Although ADHD is often thought of as a childhood condition, an estimated 15 million American adults have the diagnosis. Roughly half of them receive the diagnosis in adulthood. The disorder afflicts an estimated 7 million children ages 3 to 17. The prevalence among American children rose from 6.1% in 1997 to 1998 to 10.2% in 2025 to 2016, according to one study. Exact cause of ADHD remains unknown, and there is no single test for the condition.
Okay, I have to stop you because that last paragraph sounded like one run-on sentence. Take a breath. I find it interesting that they double down on the fact that the drugs aren't working the way we originally thought, but they're still not ineffective. They help you sleep. So does Benadryl, but you shouldn't take it either.
Exactly. Now, the brain images used in the Cell paper published last month came from children enrolled in the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study, the ABCD study, which began in 2015. Now, researchers compared images of children who took prescription stimulants on the day of their scan with those of children who did not take stimulants. By studying the connections that allowed different regions of the brain to communicate with one another, the scientists discovered that stimulants were promoting increased activity in the wakefulness and reward regions, but not in the attention ones. Dosenbach said the students' stimulants pre-reward our brains and allow us to keep working at things that wouldn't normally hold our interest, such as a class in school that feels like drudgery. You know, maybe there's a reason kids are having ADHD, because they're learning shit in school. Here, medicate. Come listen to our propaganda.
Don't forget the diets that they're on, the standard American diet, which is terribly sad.
Yes, exactly. There's a reason it's called sad, right? The stimulants are not a cognition booster, Dosenbach said. They don't make you smarter, I don't think. They don't actually give you better attention. Researchers also found that the stimulants not only help children diagnosed with ADHD, but those who had slept less than the recommended 9 hours a night. Do they actually get more sleep, or are the students pushing through it because of the drugs? The article doesn't say. I mean,
it nauseates me that they're highlighting that, look, don't look about the horrible things that these drugs do to your kid's brain. Look at the fact that it's helping them sleep. I'm just absolutely gobsmacked. Here's a thing. You've heard us talk about it previously, and we're going to continue to talk about it. The way that Charlie Abrams had his epilepsy reversed by changing his diet. I think the same thing can be said if you change the diet. This also works for diabetes. Change your kid's diet. Before you give them the Ritalin, the Adderall, the Risperdal, whatever pharma name is slapped on that mind-numbing medication that's supposed to keep them focused on the complete cookie-cutter crap that public school is pumping into their brains for 8 hours a day, preparing them for the workforce to be just another cog in the wheel. Why don't we try changing the diet instead of administering the medication? Food for thought, folks.
Yeah, because yeah, I can tell you when I was hardcore doing not eating shit and exercising to the extent that I was, yeah, my brain I could just feel the fog had lifted from my brain. It was like I could see a lot more clearly than I could without it. So yeah, diet does make a difference, folks, and I don't think there's any issue with that. So
But you know what doesn't make a difference, and it doesn't even matter, is counting calories. So forget doing it. Try this instead.
Counting calories is dumb.
Counting calories is dumb. Now, we'll spare you the issues with counting them, which we know isn't as simple as it's purported to be, but we'll present you with what the experts in this article from the BBC suggest you should do instead. Now, first one is mastering your macros. If the idea of carefully tracking your food still appeals, you could count macros instead of calories. Macros, short for macronutrients, are the large components of food: carbs, protein, fat, and fiber. Wait, when did fiber become a macronutrient we need to track? Oh, that's right. This is the UK. So you can count all the macronutrients if you like. All four are important for a healthy diet, particularly if you're doing a lot of exercise. But the experts recommend focusing on protein and fiber, not only because sources of those macronutrients typically contain sufficient amounts of carbohydrates and fat anyway, but because fiber and protein have a special trick up their sleeve. They help you feel fuller for longer. This means that by increasing your fiber and protein consumption, you'll probably end up eating less overall because you won't feel hungry so often. Now, the article invokes the wisdom of mum. You should be eating more fruit and vegetable. Both are good sources of fiber, but you can also find it in nuts, seeds, legumes, and whole grains.
Blah.
Yeah, stop right there, because I'm not endorsing that by any means. You can eat the seeds, you can eat the nuts, you can suck on these nuts if you think I'm eating any whole grains. I will put a little bit of legumes in when I'm making some chili or something like that, but they're not going to be a staple in the diet. They're very carby. They turn into sugar in your body, as do most carbs. Meanwhile, protein is similarly satiating. So foods rich in protein, think lean meats, fatty meats, fat is flavor, fish, eggs, dairy products, beans, lentils, legumes, and soy products. Absolutely not. Nobody should be consuming soy, especially women. These will all help you feel full even when you're cutting back. Now, they also say to balance your plate. The experts recommend ensuring that you aim to have a portion of each food group on your plate at every meal. Protein, such as meat, fish, eggs, cheese, tofu, or legumes. I'm sorry, have you ever eaten tofu? It doesn't taste like anything. And oh, by the way, it's soy. Keep it out of your mouth. Starchy carbohydrates, including pasta, rice, bread, potatoes, or whole grains. Yeah, you can forget that. Just sketch that. Do not put that in your body. And vegetables or fruit, depending on if they're in season or what they are. So they make what sounds like a my plate recommendation. Fill half your plate with fruit and veg and a quarter with whole grains to make sure you're getting all the sugar, fiber you need. Minimize ultra-processed foods. Ultra-processed foods, or UPFs, as you've probably heard by now, don't come straight from a farm. They're made in factories using ingredients you wouldn't find in your kitchen and methods that would be difficult to replicate at home. They dominate the supermarket shelves and Western diets, making up nearly 60% of all the calories consumed in the UK and US. They clearly haven't been to our local grocery store, though. We literally have a Little Debbie aisle because they're located in Collegedale in our state. So in this article, they make the argument proven by studies done by the National Institute of Health that people who eat UPFs will consume about 500 extra calories a day.
There's that fag talk we talked about.
Definitely a good idea to not eat this so-called food, for sure. Now choose your food wisely. Cutting down on the ultra-processed foods in your diet helps you reduce the amount of food you eat while also improving its quality. But that's not to say you have to swear off all UPFs altogether. An expert believes this is not a realistic goal for most people. No, because people are fat, lazy, and don't want to change the fact that they want all of what tastes good. They don't want to put the effort into being healthy. That's why they die so early, so fat, and so gross. So in an ideal world, we should be eating as many whole foods as possible, actual meat and actual vegetables, according to the experts. But that would mean fixing the entire food environment. No, not really. It would just mean making conscious choice not to eat the garbage. Besides which, he adds, like the calorie, the very concept of UPFs is problematic too. It includes too many foods that are technically ultra-processed, but actually are fine for you.
Name one, which the article does not do, by the way.
I was literally going to be like, citation, motherfucker. What do you got? Because I don't know any ultra-processed foods that I can look at and say, yeah, that's totally fine. Doesn't have a seed oil, a grain, a sugar, etc. Yeah, no. So, for instance, a study carried out in 2024, so just 2 little years ago, found that while eating more ultra-processed foods overall was associated with a higher risk of type 2 diabetes, there were some exceptions to the rule. Certain foods, such as sliced bread, no. Plant-based meat, abso-fucking-lutely not. And whole grain cereals, how about no, were associated with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. I'm going to call bullshit on each and every one of those things. First and foremost, you want meat? Eat a piece of meat, not some plant-based bleeding because it's beet heme. Whole grain cereals, of which are made with grains that have chemicals sprayed all over them so they can stand up nice and tall so that they can be cut. Where do those chemicals go? Oh, into your Lucky Charms, folks. And don't get me started on the bread, same problem. The grains that are being grown to make this bread, particularly wheat, is sprayed with those chemicals and it goes right into the food. It doesn't get washed off. It doesn't get stripped off. It doesn't magically disappear when you grind the flour, bake the bread, or otherwise. So not all UPFs are equally unhealthy. That is pretty true. When you're trying to choose a specific product, frozen lasagna, for example, this expert recommends comparing the fiber and the protein content of different brands to roughly guess their quality. Let me make it simple, folks. If it's frozen lasagna, it's got grains, it's got seed oils, and it's got sugar. Ask me how I know. Because the pasta's made from a grain, the seed oils and the sugars, well, they come in your sauce. So it's better to eat actual tofu or steak or fish. Well, of course it is. But an ultra-processed protein bar that's higher in protein is likely to be better than another one that has less protein. Wow, that's one of the most uneducated statements I have ever fucking heard. Water's wet, too. You shouldn't be eating these things to begin with. You want protein? Eat an egg. Eat a steak. Eat a chicken breast. Eat something that naturally has protein and doesn't have all the added crap. And oh yeah, isn't ultra-processed. So by doing this, you can give yourself the best chance of choosing healthier foods and losing weight, even without cutting ultra-processed products completely out of your diet or needing to cut a single calorie. Yeah, I have an idea, folks. Instead, why don't you just try eating clean and then counting calories or worrying about portions or serving sizes becomes less of a focus in your world, which leaves you more time to put life into living.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that, actually, and yeah, I think that was our last story. Although it is, we still have the last call segment, apparently.
And we do have 2 new voicemails, so let's hit it.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a couple of recalls here.
So had to get this story in for your final segment about snowmen. And that is that I'll tell you about the time that I became the snowman. So I go up to Snoqualmie Pass Ski Resort and went snow skiing.
had a pretty novice skier with us, actually snowboarder. We were looking for something that was kind of medium difficulty for him. So we ride up the lift, and I point one out, big, wide open, groomed run. I'm like, hey, let's go down that one. He goes, all right, let's go down that one. So then we get over, it's a cat track to get there, so you kind of got to go a little ways to get even to the top of it. We get to the top of it, and it opens up. Sure enough, it's wide open. It's groomed. It's also a 45-degree angle, crazy steep for this novice snowboarder. Took us 45 minutes to get him down the hill, and it was miserable for everyone involved. Ryan was there, I was there, him. Finally get him to the bottom. I think that we're clear. I think we finally got into the part where it's all easy, and I just take a couple quick cuts, get down to the lift. 20 minutes later, Ryan finally catches up to me. Well, apparently right after I took off, this guy we're with catches an edge, goes face first into the icy snow, gets a couple cuts on his face. Ryan had to help him out. So if Ryan finally catches up to me, he's like, hey, you got at least a couple good cuts on that. I want to get some good cuts on that. We're doing that run again. Okay. So we ride the lift back up. And we get to the top. As soon as we get off the lift, Ryan takes off like a shot, as hard as he can, as fast as he can. And I didn't even notice at first. I'm putting my poles on. I didn't realize that he just took off right away. I look up, and he's already 40, 50 feet ahead of me. And he looks back at me and yells, I expect you to beat me to the bottom. Well, you're goddamn right I'm going to beat you to the bottom, you asshole. So I take off, hard as I can go. We're not going super fast. We're going down that cat track I was talking about. We get to the top of the cat track, and Ryan's already gone over the edge of it, down the steep hill. And I take off. I've got longer skis than he does. I can go a little bit faster than him and still be under control. So I know I can beat him. And I start taking off, and I get probably 200 or 300 feet down this hill, and I catch an edge, and my foot comes up out from underneath me. And I manage to balance on one ski long enough to bring the foot back, plant it again underneath me. But then, of course, I've now gone 50 or 60 feet, pointing straight down the hill with no braking, and I'm going.
Yes, and he's going to call back, and he did. So let's do that.
And time for part two. So I'm going like 50 or 60 miles an hour down this hill, way too fast to be on skis. And so I cut as hard as I can to my left side and dig in as hard as I can. And as soon as I do that, my left ski pops off. So I'm like, well, crap. Okay, so I'll just dig my right ski in as hard as I can, and I'll just drop my shoulder into the hill, drop my shoulder, start digging in, and my right ski pops off. Now I'm just tobogganing on my back down this hill. And I'm still probably going 30 miles an hour. And so I'm like, I got to slow down. So I dig my heels into the snow, which was a terrible idea because I absolutely just catapulted over my heels. And I now go the rest of the way down this entire run tumbling. I got all the way to the bottom. The zipper on my bibs is now on my left side, like even with my left armpit. The zipper to my jacket is even with my right side on my right side, up my right armpit. I have snow in every possible place. I have somehow through the jacket, through the bibs and everything, I have snow in my underwear everywhere. I have snow packed into my goggles. I have snow everywhere. But my goggles and my hat are still on my head. My poles are still in my hands, and my skis have followed me all the way down. And I stand up, and I realize that I'm not hurt. I am fine. And I look up, and this is the moment when Ryan saw a snowman look up at him from down below him and yell out, I beat you to the bottom.
Jeez.
That is absolutely money. Thank you so much, Bemlet. Wow, the human snowman. And as soon as you said you dug your heels in, I'm literally having the visual of you going ass over tea kettle and just catapulting yourself. Oh God, I can see what's coming. That is too funny. I can honestly say I've never been snow tubing, skiing, snowboarding, or anything of the like. Not that I wouldn't. I probably could handle it if I could learn how. Even living in the Northeast, I just never got into skiing or anything snow sport related.
Yeah, well, neither did I, because I never really, I mean, yeah, I even when I lived in a place that snowed occasionally, I lived far enough from the places where you would actually go specifically to go, well, do things like ski. Yeah, we didn't do that very often. So we didn't do that at all, in fact. So, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We do have Obergatlinburg where they make snow and you have ski lift and skiing and all that. It just, in the 15, almost 16 years that I've lived down here, it hasn't been something that has been like, oh, I want to go learn how to ski or snowboard or whatever. I might do the snow tubing thing at the indoor place because that sounds like a good amount of fun. But to actually have to stand up and maneuver myself on something that can slip out from under me and I can bust my ass, yeah, I'm not. I mean, I roller skate, I ice skate, I'm decent at it. I just feel like me and skis would probably be a bad combination. This would not lead to excellence. It would definitely lead to certain doom.
Yeah, or serious injury. Probably much.
Definitely serious injury.
All right, well, we did it. We got through the end of the show even after we've, even with all the changes.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it, I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go because, yeah, it's later now when we end the show, and, yeah, we... You know, we definitely time to do some Studio 33 and stuff like that because
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you. I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.